Boker Tov and Barach, welcome, a warm welcome to everybody who's come to be with us this morning as we finish off Simon Shin Yud Ches, Sif Yud Tes, 318.
There's a short
Mechaba
and a massive Mishnah Berurah.
There's a short Mechaba and a massive Mishnah Berurah. Very well noted, Mr. Levine.
That is
exactly open the window. Some of us are luft. Oh, it's a bit humid, isn't it, Mr. Levine?
No.
No? Right, it is the summer, we have to just pretend the sun's out.
Yeah.
So, we'll be learning this morning, Rabbi Yisai. Simon Shin Yud Ches, Seif Yud Tes. Also, Lepuach Shemen, it's on page Kuflam Ates, page 277. Also, Lepuach Shemen, Vashum Alatsi, Boidoi Kenege Tamadur. We may not smear oil or garlic on a roast when it is opposite the fire. You have it like on a spit. And even if the meat's been cooked already, been roasted before Shabbos, because there's an issue of cooking to the oil and the garlic, which is being cooked on the roast. You know, you go to the, what's it called, that metal, you have like a...
Doner kebab.
Yeah.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah, how did you know I meant that?
I think some oriental gentleman.
Yeah, so it's like a mess of meat which is on the spit. It's going round and round. It's called a kebab. Yeah. So that is sweet roasted meat. But then to put oil or garlic on it is going to be an issa of bishon. Kuf yud. Kuf Yud Heth. This is the final Mishnah Berurah, and Shin Yud Heth is Mishnah Berurahs have gotten Kuf Yud Heth. Keneged Hamadura. Now the truth is, even the Shulchan Aruch talks about roast. You're putting the oil and the garlic on meat which is roasting, on the spit which is next to the fire. It's getting heated directly from the flame, really. The truth is, even if the meat was no longer itself being heated by the fire, if it says the Mishnah Berurah Lav Dafka, Tchadin, B'mavir es hashpud, Shetochav alav mit hatzli mi ha'esh. Even if it's actually the fire is not there anymore, but nevertheless this meat has been heated up directly from the fire. It is empowered with Kedi Rishu. Kol zman sh'roseach sh'yad tzeled esbo, as long as this meat roast will heat to the heat of Yad Tzeled Esbo, Vasa lo tzuach alav, one may not put onto it any such items, oil or garlic, etc., because it's like cooking in a keli rishon. Continues the Mishnah Berurah. Even if you were to take the meat and move it and put it onto a plate, and then you'd put the garlic and the oil, it's also going to be forbidden. Hold that with a solid item, however many times you put it on a keli, it retains the same severity of heat as a keli rishon. And then even if it would be put on another plate, it's a Kedi Sheni, it would still be prohibited. Yeah? Right. And we come welcome, but nevertheless. But do you ever, ex post facto, if it happens, if you took a piece of meat, which was just roasted, and put it onto a plate, so, and then you'd put on it oil or garlic, which is raw, so, although it's being cooked by a double gush in a kedi sheni, nevertheless, it would be okay. Some chinan ala poiskim to kedi sheni ainu mevashav b'chol gavni. Because even if it would be a kedi sheni, if it would be a kedi sheni, first of all, it's not so clear it's a kedi rishon. It could be a kedi sheni if you don't hold a double gush. It's a kedi sheni. So it's a kedi sheni.
It's a machlokes.
Yeah, it's a machlokes. Yeah.
Generally,
we're machlokes. Yeah, chinan, but it's not.
Could it be that Moshe Feinstein was more makeable?
I don't know. I don't remember. Okay, so if you don't hold a double gush, because it is a machlokes, then this is a keli sheni. And although lechatchila we don't put any item which is raw in a keli sheni, as a rule of thumb, only a keli shlishi, but that's not known for sure. We don't know for sure that it will be cooked in a keli sheni, as we've discussed on previous occasions, and therefore we will not forbid it. If it was in a keli sheni, we could assume A, that it's not, the double gush is not mvashal, and B, that these items can't become cooked in a keli sheni. We're talking here with an items which have never been cooked, like garlic and oil. If one has fat which is thick, one can actually put it in front of the fire. Obviously not on the fire, or close to the fire, where it appears to be an act of bishul. But since the items have been cooked already, it's been cooked already, that's right. An item which has been cooked, and it's a solid item, ein bishul acha bishul, is no longer subject to bishul, provided it's not in a position where it appears to be an act of bishul, as we know from the halachas of chazara, etc., in Rishon and Gimel. Mishun noilad leka, there's no issue of noilad. You're going to tell me that the solid schmaltz, as you say, is going to become liquid, and we learned the other day when we not change a solid item into a liquid, says the Mishnah Brura. No, given the nivla bosa ba'ina ba'en, since in this scenario, the schmaltz will become oily, it won't be apparent. Yeah. You won't be able to see clearly which bit just absorb into the meat, basically. You won't be able to see which part of the liquid was actually schmaltz. It's okay. Well, actually, can it be a dime, provided additionally it's only done by itself. You don't so to squeeze it somewhat and change it into the liquid. If you put it close to the source of heat and it comes dissolved by itself, in which case you fulfill both criteria of permitted in order to permit a moly to take place. A, it's happening by itself. B, it's not nikar. If one fulfills both nikar, so by fulfilling both of these, well, it will be okay. Eliyahu, book it off.
Is schmalt salt?
Schmaltz is thick geese fat. It's a real Ashkenazi food. Would you like to explain to me what schmaltz is? Very unhealthy.
Very unhealthy.
Very unhealthy.
You're right, actually. Nowadays, most people don't use it. But if you go back two generations, everybody used to use it.
All our Zaydas were eating that in Poland for a Shabbos meal. The first England, yeah.
People used to render the schmaltz every week. And
it's smear
on
the schmaltz herring.
Oh, yeah.
What does schmaltz herring
do? Well, it's not the same as schmaltz.
Oh, okay.
It is, you're right, it is the word. Yeah. Because schmaltz herring, it becomes oily and fatty. It brings out the oil when you pickle or marinate the herring.
Yeah.
It brings out the natural oils of the herring.
Yes.
So that's why it's the same word.
Okay.
But this, when we just say schmaltz on its own, usually means meat fat or chicken fat, usually chicken fat.
Yeah.
People, okay. You remember a good salt beef sandwich with schmaltz on it?
So what do you call salt in German, Yiddish, whatever?
Salt.
Salt, yes, what do you call
salt
it?
Salt is Salz.
Salz?
Salz.
So salsa means
meat. Yes. Salsa.
Yeah.
Oh, so the water.
Oh, you've got to be careful. Salsa. Just remind you what. Salsa is like fizzy lemonade.
Yeah,
fizzy,
in Americans,
call it
salsa.
What do you call it? Soda water. Salsa is really soda water.
I wonder how many shiurim are having the same discussion about schmaltz herring. At least we have opportunity to discuss schmaltz herring. It wouldn't be right otherwise to learn Hilchos Bishul and not properly explain about schmaltz herring.
You know, I went yesterday to a medical meeting.
Oh yeah, how did it go?
And Baruch, it went very well. The thing was, the BNF, which is the Bible of medicine, they say now if you see a patient who is hypoglycemic and he needs sugar, and he's a bit conscious, immediately give him Coke in his mouth.
Coke,
yes. I said to the doctor, we'll give him, on which basis? Coke is sucrose, disaccharide. In biochemistry, we were taught you use monosaccharide, glucose. Glucose gets absorbed from the stomach immediately to the brain. How could I accept disaccharide goes immediately to the brain? So I said to him, I would accept it.
Eliyahu, I'd love to agree with you. I haven't the foggiest. But nowadays, everything has to go by the book. Everything has to go by what they've decided. I don't know. We live in a funny world, Elio.
I told him it's all politics. Because it's Hamal Medina used this, because it's much more mainly available everywhere.
Easiest.
Probably. I told him, what about the grape juice? What about grapes? Or what about...
Raisins, yeah. You told me before what's raisins.
They are the best. But I don't accept it. Mm. And I'm not going to follow it.
B'chavod, Eliyahu?
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay, with the first wide line, for all those who are listening...
You are using... not revision, okay.
Pardon?
We're not doing revision.
Yeah. No, we're just continuing. I'd like to finish the siman this morning. Okay. The first wide line, at the end of Shin Yud Heth.
Shin Heth?
Shin Yud Heth.
Kuf Lamed Tet. Is that right?
Mr. Levine, you make a natural Sephardi.
With or without the schmaltz?
With the schmaltz. Kuf Lamed Tet. It's the last page of Shin Yud Heth.
Yeah, first wide line in Mr.
Kuf Lamed Tet, yes, okay.
Yeah, the first wide line. V'hu adin, similarly says the Mishnah Berurah, the muta lo tu'ach b'tam zeh b'shum avos shenikfa. A person may smear, therefore, a schmaltz of a geese which has become solidified. Al minei k'mochem b'kitnias, he's smearing it on flour and beans. Lokshen. What lokshen is, Eliyahu?
No, what is lokshen?
It's like noodles.
Pasta.
I don't think the word lokshen is
true.
Okay, fine. Erbizin, do you know what erbizin is?
What is that?
Arbus? I don't know.
What is that?
I don't know. Here's I think, is rice. Rice, you know, yeah?
Yeah. It's the staple food for all Asia. Yeah. And South Africa.
Okay, so that's rice. So you have these items, but yeah, so you're smearing the geese fat on these items. which have been placed on a bowl, in a bowl. After Oseach, although it's hot. And therefore there's no bishul because the geese fat has been cooked already. Ain bishul acha bishul. What about the issue of moilit, changing the solid into liquid? It's also not applicable. If you put it slowly, and allow it to dissolve by itself. So A, it's dissolving by itself, and B, it's not apparent. That which has changed into liquid can't be seen clearly by itself. So therefore, again, one's avoided bishul, one's avoided. Also avoided moilet, everything is counts good and fine. Okay, says the Mishnah Berurah, continue. Three lines down from the wide lines, in the middle of the line. Isa b'toisefta. I think you have the right page. Isa, it is brought in the toisefta. In the collection of Brises, the end after the Gemara is called Tosefta. We're just picking the bits and pieces at the end of the Siman to conclude, to complete the picture of Hilchos Bishul.
Isat means it came?
It came, yeah, it came. It's found. It came, yeah. Why?
Yeah, no, because I could not understand, think that the tough you make it seem, and I was thinking.
Isa, I'm so stunned. It must be so confusing for you, Eliyahu.
Yes, okay.
Isa, but Ita. Isa, but it's after. Set as follows. Echad nasa nesa or. One person wakes up in the morning, Shabbos morning, and brings some fire. Echad nasa nesa eitzim. The second person comes along and brings some wood. Then number three, Echad nasa nesa gedera. A third person brings a pot. Number four, Echad nasa nesa mayim. Yehuda comes and pours water in the pot. Then Ve'echad nos nesa bosar. Yisachar comes and puts meat in the pot. Ve'echad nesa tavlin. And Zvulin puts in the spices. Upo acher ve'hegis. Who's after Zvulin?
What hegis mean?
Don.
What, sorry?
Don. To stir. Don comes along and stirs it. There's a whole string of people. Each person does one element of the cooking procedure. Kulam chayavin, they're all chayav.
I thought if one does one milacha of the whole thing, he's patur.
Says the Mishnah Brura, he explains, how do that mean? Shehan maisin ha'or, the first person came along and brought the fire. Hu chayav mishum mavir, he's created fire, he's transgressed the milacha of fire making. When he brings the coal from one place to another, bring it along, it's going to become increase the burning of the fire. The first person created or moved the fire, improved the fire, and he's chayav mishum mavir, because of the transgression of making a fire. The second person who adds wood to the fire, gam kein chayav mishum mavir. He's also chayev, he transgressed the malach of fire making, to add wood, to add fuel to a fire, is an independent issue of mavir. Kain kosav Rashi, that's what Rashi explains. But idach, and the rest of them, the fellow who brought the pot, the fellow who brought the meat, the fellow who brought the spices, the fellow who stirred, the idach kulam mishum mavashal, the others are transgressed the issue of cooking. The gam megis nami mitamzer, to stir a pot that's cooking, when it's not fully cooked, as we'll learn, is an issue of magus. Shekala oisit, and according to the kolba, even in this official, according to the kolba, even if it's fully cooked, also. Anyway, we'll see. Shekala oisit dava mitarche bishul, to improve an item and help it and enhance its cooking. Harizem avashal is an issue of cooking. So although you've just stirred the pot which was raw, yeah, but that's improving the cooking. K'moy shekos v'ramam, like the Rambam says, Aye, you're going to ask me, the person who brought the empty pot, what's he done? Good morning. The person who brought the empty pot, what's he done? Says the Mishnah Brura, the person who brought the empty pot, Mayri b'chadosh, we're talking about a new empty pot, b'chayev mishum shemislabim u'mischazik ha'kadeira, validation noisna aloesh. We've learned before, a new pot, the Gemara tells us, the first time you heat a new pot, it sort of weakens the pot. And it's only fully corrected when one afterwards puts cold water into it. But the faket here is talking about here, you put a new pot, and actually the first time you use the pot, the pot's going to become stronger, strengthened by the heat of the fire, not what I just said before. This is the way the pot was created, that's what the heat would improve the firmness of the pot. So then when we said that the person who brings the pot is chayev, he's actually chayev not because of cooking, he's chayev because of the improvement to the pot. We're learning Mishnah Brura, Mishnah Yaakov Avram, the last Mishnah Brura of Siman Shin Yod Ches. We're about 10 lines from the end of the Siman in the Mishnah Brura. So again, the Mishnah Brura has brought to Sefer Braisa that says, if one person brings fire, and the next person brings wood, and the next person brings a pot, and the next person brings meat, the next person water, the next person brings meat, the next person brings tavlin, spices, and the next person stirs it, they're all chayev. They've all done independent melachas of on Shabbos. The first two have done mavid, one who brings the fire and the one who brings the wood. The next one who brings the pot is chayev mishum, because he completed the keli by heating, allowing the pot to become heated. And the other one...
Is this a brand new keli?
Yeah, it says a new one, that's what it says. And then all the ones who add to the pot, the one who has the meat, he's cooking the meat. And the next person, the person who adds the water, is cooking the water. Each person is independently allowing another item to become cooked. And even the one who stirs it is also improving all the cooking. And now all the items which are not yet cooked will become cooked quicker or better. They've all transgressed. However, Gemara Shabbat Migdalos. However, we're now 10 lines up. The last word of the line. Echad nos nesakadeira, if it's the other way round. One person brings a pot. Vechad nos nesamayim. One person brings some water, puts the water in a pot. Has anything happened yet? No.
Nothing.
Vechad nos nesabasar, the dritte, a gekumt and brings a bissel fleisch. The third one brought some meat. Echad nos nesatavlin, and the fourth one brought some spice. The fifth one brought some wood. And the sixth one brought the matches and struck.
Struck the
matches. Yeah.
So he switched it on.
Yeah, he switched it on. And the last one comes to Aegis and stirs it all. So shnayim achroinim hayavim. The last two are chayiv. One who puts strikes
a match.
Yeah, is chayiv because he made a fire, and the one who stirs is chayiv because he's improved the cooking of all the items together. Yeah, and only the last two have transgressed the malach. The first ones haven't done anything. Well, they've allowed the malach to take place, but they haven't actually done malach. That is the correct girsa. That's how the Gaon learns the Braisa. That's how the Ramb, the Beis Yosef, learns this Tosefta. Yeah? So that's how the Tosefta should be read. Now, I must tell you that there is another Mishnah Berurah in Siman Reish Nun Gimel. Yeah. I hope I can find it now. I think it's also at the very end of Reish Nun Gimel. We've learnt together, and it says there that although the last ones are chayiv, if I'm not mistaken, the first ones have done an issur d'rabbanan because they've set up a situation that bishul is going to take place. And I don't know where it says that. I believe it's earlier. Maybe the Dushu says this as a note. 115. I believe the first one's done in Issa Drabonon. Just a minute.
Yeah, because the Gemara here. It's the Gemara in Bayer, all of us.
Yes.
Which we did recently. That's what I don't know where it is. It says the Kulon Paturin. So potter usually means potter out also.
That's right. The first ones are transgressed in Issa Drabonon. Here you go. Reishnun Gimel Siv. Well, it says in Reishnun Gimel Siv Cotton Kuf to put a pot in a position that the goy is going to come afterwards and heat it up is also. Yeah? Says that Rishon and Gimel Sukkot and Kuf mentions this, yeah. Right, as I just told you, that it's still an Issa Drabonon to set up. Here you go. Yeah, Sukkot and Kuf. It says over there to set up a scenario whereby you bring the pot to the flame and you bring the water and the meat, etc. Although you haven't actually done the cooking and you haven't brought fire, but nevertheless, to set it up is also an Issa Drabonon. Yeah, that's quite right. We've nearly finished. I'd like just to finish the Sif Cotton, if that's okay. The Mishnah Berurah continues. The Kotzer of Rava Magid, the Rava Magid says, did the Devar HaKoil, everybody agrees, Shein B'Bishul Echiev, that whenever there's no transgression of cooking the food, could go in B'Mavashel Eschol Sorokoi, let's say the food is already cooked, Ein B'Hagos Sos Echiev, to stir a fully cooked food is not going to be a transgression of Bishul, because just like Ein B'Shul Echa Bishul, there's no transgression of cooking a cooked item if it's a stava yovish, a dry thing. So too, stirring it is not going to make any, is not going to affect any tikkun, any change, any enhancement to the item. Beis Yosef kosa b'shem ha-kolboi. However, the Beis Yosef does write from the kolboi, the kashahi alo eish, when you have a cooked food on the fire, chayev b'hagosa filibim v'shul kod zorokoi. To stir it is forbidden, even if the item is completely cooked. Wow! And that's a massive chiddush. We mentioned it yesterday. I put on the sheet over here, it's the last of the fourth, the last corner. We left off with the Tzorach Ion. I mean, because Beis Yosef brings the Rava Magid actually permits it. I should have really put the Rava Magid permits it. Now, yeah? To stir something which is fully good with the beast, but the Kolboi says it's prohibited in the Shaatzi, and as we said yesterday, Kuf Mem Ches, he asks, what's the problem? Inasmuch as there's no Bishul, Echa Bishul, there should be no hagosa achabishul. Why should one not be allowed to stir an item when it's on the flame, if it's cooked already? But nevertheless, all our wives and rebbetzins, daughters and mothers, may they be blessed. They all take when we do the same thing. We take the pot off the flame and we only serve when it's off the flame. And this is in line with the kolbo. Yeah, but if you want to return it, somebody holds it. Yeah, I suppose it could be also that maybe we're concerned perhaps the food's not fully cooked and stirring it maybe.
Then you can't return.
Then you can't, yeah. I don't know. I'll that for some reason the Kolboi holds a very severe issue. Anyway, so we don't do it. We don't stir or remove food from a pot if it's on the flame. That's at the end of the day. Why it's so that even the Shatzian finds it difficult to understand. Now, four lines from the end of the Mishnah Berurah. Kli bishul shelanu, our cooking utensils, Shekoyrin Samatha.
Yeah.
The Shabbos urn. The old fashioned big
Russian. Russian.
Yeah. Eliyahu, we're learning all these different languages. Zaga bench to you too. Aflonga Langa Yaron. So Samatha, if you have here a Shabbos urn, a Shabbos kettle. A kettle.
Yeah.
It's not plugged in, this one. They didn't have electric ones in the time.
I don't have mine plugged in. I'm not Russian either.
It's on the
flame. Anyway, Shehuchim Be'erev Shami, Erev Shabbos, which was heated before Shabbos. Also, little Mimenu Mayim, you cannot remove water from it, Kishe'ene Garif Min Agacholim, when it's still attached, when it's still on the coals. Yeah? Kain Kosov Sefer Tesefer Shu Shalm, Yerushalayim Elbus and Reishim Gimel, and Shom Shevi Sefer Shem Yerushalayim, Shekom Esom Shem Tumulay, Shene Garif Min Shes Minu B'Shabbos. Now there, I would have said the reason is, well, I mean, I don't. First of all, with regard to Shahir, any food, any item of food which is heated before Shabbos fully, you can remove. It's not subject to Shahir. It doesn't need a blech. Yeah, you only need a blech if it's
to
not
take it off,
not fully cooked.
You mean to take it off?
If you want to remove food from it, Shahir is that we discussed in Siman Reish and Gimel, is the issue to put a raw food on a fire before Shabbos. Yeah, we spoke about that.
Yeah.
So we say you need a blech, which is a metal plate, underneath the raw food, if the food is not fully cooked. If the food is fully cooked, you don't need one. Anyway, so here is a very interesting reason why why we're saying over here that a person should not remove the this urn, heated before Shabbos. Why you shouldn't remove water from it on Shabbos when it does not have a blech? It's difficult to understand. Why should that be the problem? If it was fully cooked and Shabbos comes in, you don't need a blech, right? So it says a very interesting reason. I'm reading the brackets now. Hatam. The reason is from Neishu also Prokim. Their urn seemed to be made of a number of pieces. Whom is Yoren is scared, Shemo Yisakel Pirukoi, maybe the pieces will become damaged or Humoisif Mayim, maybe the water will heat up.
Leak.
I think it means maybe the water will heat up, all the water will heat out of it, and then it will become damaged by the flame. So therefore, there's a concern you'll add, it'll burn out, it'll burn it. There's a concern you'll add more water in. So therefore, we only take water from it when it's removed from the coals. I think that's the explanation. I'll have a look in a minute in those behalf. Therefore, he says, "Oh, should be careful because Yosh Lishtis min akli bishol shulanu kedim shkia. If a person comes to drink from such a pot before shkia, or it ends a kiddush alfayim, then it turns into Shabbos. Should Lishtis be menu oid not to drink any more from it, because there's a concern it's going to plat."
What's he doing here? What's he saying here at the end?
I'm trying to, as far as I see, I'm going to have to just look it up now, I'm not 100% sure. It seems that there's a certain sort of Shabbos urn which is made of pieces, and there's a concern that it may boil over, and then the pot will become damaged from the heat, and you'll want to add water to it, and therefore you should only remove water from it when it actually has a blech. I don't really understand myself. To be honest,
it's an obvious thing. If you add water to an urn,
yes,
you'd have to take it off the heat.
Yeah, you can't add cold water. You can never add to an urn.
No, but here the thing is empty now. Water.
Yeah.
So he's worried that the flame is going to.
It's going to burn. Yes.
So what he does is he takes it off and then he puts water in.
But he can't do that on Shabbat. That's the concern. Maybe he's going to add water to it and heat the water up, which has never been heated before. Brand new water going to put into
it. It won't be heated. I mean, once it's off, I mean, the more, heat of the actual urn.
Yeah, the urn's going to pass.
It's not on the flame.
I think there's a concern that the urn's going to plats.
I'm wondering if these some of us that they had in Russia were. Do you remember in Yeshiva Gedola when you were a bocher there? The big thing they use to get hot water. The actual flame is—it's on a flame, but the flame is in the actual base of the cane. It's not like two separate things that you can just.
You see them. You see them in museums or antique shops. They're made of copper. They're a copper thing, and then underneath they've got like a tripod, also made of copper, three legs, made of copper, and then the heat source was under that.
But the heat source was. was separate, but in theory you could lift it off. The yeshiva, we used to have one that the actual glass in, flames were you couldn't lift it off.
It was attached to the wall, I think.
Yeah.
They bring here.
They used to have a big notice on it, never let the water go below here because it would burn out.
They're saying over here that this pot, for better or for worse, that we're discussing, it was a pot. Every time you took water from it, you needed to add water to it. And therefore, there was a very severe concern. Therefore, you shouldn't take water from it on Shabbos because you'd need to add water to it in order to keep the equilibrium, which is a very strange sort of scenario. And therefore, he says, don't use such a pot on Shabbos if it's still being heated. More than that, I can't really tell you. It's not relevant. Dershowitz points out this is not relevant nowadays to our. And you know, the new Shabbos, the electric Shabbos urns normally have a function that when the water bubbles off,
it cuts out
automatically and it breaks.
A safety
feature, but with health and safety weren't so strong in Russia, in the health and safety. So therefore that's not so relevant. But what we did learn today is, we reiterated a few practical cases of bishul achar bishul, and we said whenever if a person, for example, wants to heat oil or shum, if it's been heated already, you want to put it onto something which is hot. So we have to be careful of the issue of bishul, and if the item's been cooked already and it's a dover yovish, we'd hold it in bishul achar bishul. With regard to the concern of changing a solid into a liquid, if it's happening by itself, one's not actively changing it, and also it's not apparent, it's not nikar, the liquid element which has changed is not apparent on Shabbos, you can't see that it's changed, it's sort of absorbed into the meat, or anything similar, then it's going to be permitted. And we also discussed a scenario where different people are involved in doing an act of bishul. One brings the fire, one brings the wood, one brings the pot, one brings the water, one brings the meat. One brings a tavlin and one stirs, they're all chayav because they've all been fully active in the melacha, either mavir or tikkun mone or bishul. The other way around, just bringing items, dry items to where the fire's not there yet, and then only the achron, the last one who brings the fire, the one who stirs it's chayav, and the first ones only did an issa d'rabbanan. We also discussed stirring an item which has already been cooked on the flame. So for some ikadin, it's okay. That is the opinion of the Rav Magid. Although there is a kolboy that prohibits stirring an item which is on the flame, and therefore, in honor of the kolboy, we would only remove an item, ideally, when it's off the flame. Be'ezus Hashem, next week, on Monday, Sunday, obviously, Tisha B'Av, there'll be no shir. Next week, Monday, Be'ezus Hashem, will be beginning the halachos of Boire, Siman Shin Yud Tes, halachos of selecting and sorting on Shabbos, which is actually, interestingly, it's the final Siman in our limud, because we began Siman Shin Chof. It's Elul, 7 years ago, we began Siman Shin Chof. So we've nearly come to a full circuit over here. Hilchos Boire is really the last Siman which we haven't learnt. So it's been quite exciting. The grand finale. And Be'ez Hashem will continue Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. There should be a Shi'ur Be'ez Rath Hashem. Thursday I'll have to see, and then we'll have a short break.
You're going away Thursday?
Be'ez Hashem Thursday, we'll go be away.
For 2 weeks.
Tuesday. But we're quite a number of pages ahead already, so... Eliyahu B'chavod.
Now, if they start with fire...
Just 1 second, Eliyahu, there's a sheet, this is a sheet, and if you saw this yesterday, this is a sheet, I made this...
Okay.
No, it's the same over here, it's just, I made a chart. The Eliyahu.
If they start with fire, all of them are chayyadim.
Yeah.
Fine. If the last one... brings the fire or switch on the fire.
Yeah.
So it means only the last one is higher?
Yeah.
Fine. I understand that. Please don't comment. Now, the thing is, what about the others? Will they eat? Will they be able to eat? The one who brought the water, the one who brought the urn, brought whatever. Will they be able to eat? The last one is higher. Fine.
Yeah.
The first ones, will they be able to eat? On Shabbat, they did not do melacha.
So it depends. Why did the last one bring the fire? Was it on purpose or was it by mistake?
Presumably they all agreed about it, isn't it? To eat together.
Ah, right. Then if it's on purpose, then nobody can eat it on Shabbos.
No, you can eat it on Shabbos.
Yes, okay. Now, this is one.
Yes, we have also.
Now, the other question is... from the melacha point of view, Do I don't know how what women do when they serve. Do they remove the pot from the blech, from whatever, and they bring it to the table, and they serve, and then afterwards, and they have in mind that they will bring it back on fire, or they serve in they take some and put in klisheni, and from there they give the people.
I don't mix into the kitchen what the ladies do. Ladies do what they want to do. Okay.
From the hub I told
you. Yeah.
If I take the urn, whatever, or the pot from the fire to the table, fine, I have in mind that I will serve. I will put it back. So when I serve people, someone was away, someone this and that, so it becomes, it could be 80 degrees centigrade. Now, could I put it back on fire again?
As long as you have a blech.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Which is a nice Yiddish word.
Put it down, though.
Yeah, obviously, you know, you don't put it down. Ideally, you try and keep hold of it.
You can't put it down.
Yeah.
Don't wear.
Anyway.
We don't leave the pot. We always keep, like in your mind, you plan to return it. Also, with your hands, you keep hold of it.
So it means that another one who's serving. I'm holding it.
Normally, you're two people or one person's holding and serving at the same time. It's a bit more tricky. It's always easier in the kitchen. Why should you want to bring the pot all the way to the dining room? It's easier. It's not so practical.
I know, but
if that's what the ladies want to do, we don't mix.
If the woman, for example, she does not have a daughter, so she has to serve, how to go about it?
Whichever she makes her feel easier. Whatever makes her feel easier, that's what she should do. Elu elu, Yireh Elokim Chayim.
Elio mentioned 80 degrees. If you've fulfilled all the other conditions, as long as it's still yam tzeret, you can put it back.
And if it's fully cooked.
Even less than 80. It mustn't, if it starts going less than
yam tzeret. It's not going to be a lot much less, otherwise it'll be cold too. But we leave the ladies to the kitchen. That's the best. Okay. No, Mr. Levine, it's relaxed.
My son usually stays in the kitchen. We wouldn't, like you say, if you want to put something back, we'll do it straight away there in the kitchen and put it all into a cage shady. But once we bring it to the dining room, we're not going to go and take it back to the...
Generally, it's done in the kitchen. I don't even know if it's so wonderful to bring pots to the Shabbos table. You bring a pot to...
Not sukkahs.
Sukkahs, I know. Does it say on Shabbos? Does it not say? I'm not sure. Should we bring pots? Does it not say you shouldn't bring the... Yeah, it does say pan in the sukkah.
Pot in the sukkah.
Yeah.
But
don't know.
So they have intermediate pot or intermediate...
If you want, they can bring in like what's it called?
Serving
dish, tureen.
Whatever makes them happy.
Yeah.
Okay.
We are more particular. Our job is to eat it and say it's very nice. That's what I'm very particular about. They bring it in, they do it in the kitchen.
That whole Mishnah is the Gemara here. Tanya.
Yeah.
Whole thing. And if you wanted that, did you not find the Makkah you were looking for?
I did find Mishnah Gemara. Does it say that?
Yeah. See the Mogen and Roman Chaim and the Shalot Sion 253108.
Mishnah Gimel Yekuf Ches. Right, that's where we were, I think.
Yeah, we did it all a few weeks ago.
No, it's Mishnah Gimel was quite a while ago already.
No, we're
in the Gemara.
We're up to Lamed Zayin.
Wow, it's a shame we nearly finished.
All there.
Yekuf Ches. That's gotten. Kuf,
yeah.
That's Kuf, and that's 108 is here.
Ah, no,
it's... Yeah. I wish you all Shabbat Shalom, Mishtibus Roth Tawaf, Yishuvos Nechamoth, Shabbanizke, Bekar, and Abinion Tzin, Yerecha, Bezos Hashem, Besiyat Tishmaya.
On Monday and Tuesday, we're hoping to have another Shiur here at 10:15.
Okay.
So it would be very good... If, I don't know who the person is, but if a person starting the day this year would get his watch adjusted next week.
And if I may add...
If
the Right Honourable Gentleman, if I may add, will stop interrupting every 5 minutes, I may add, and maybe we'll be able to finish on time, may I say. Hey!
a lot of time I ask a question,
yeah,
and Mr. Speaker is about to answer,
yeah,
and I hear from him it's either some people mumbling, some,
yeah,
people answer first, and I get confused.
Yeah,
I need to hear one speech so I know who to answer and what to hear.
Mr. Speaker, no, this is the House of Commons. Have you ever heard the House of Commons? What goes on there? Oh my goodness. Mr. Speaker! Did you know he's Jewish, Mr. Speaker? Yeah, did you know? Yeah. Don't know how Jewish he is, Mr. Stummer, yeah. Do you know the Speaker? He's quite funny sometimes, has good lines.
I think he says his parents were refugees from the Holocaust.
Probably, yeah.
The British.
Yeah, can I put the show is now concluded, yes? Yeah, okay, yeah. Thank you all, everyone, for listening.